Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, September 17th. You have arrived at the one show where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by the Indie Beauty Network. If you've got a cosmetics business and you need products liability insurance, then you need to head over to IndieBeauty.com and check out our fantastic, affordable products liability insurance price to help you cover your business and be able to enjoy your business with the peace of mind you need to grow and expand. Well, you know, we are all about working it here at Indie Business Radio. And today we have got two ladies who not only know how to work it themselves, but are committed to helping other people to work it for themselves as well. And to that end, they have written a book which is actually being published today. Today is the publication date for their book called Work It Girl, The Black Woman's Guide to Professional Success. The authors are right here with me today, Lorraine Morris Cole and Pamela M. McBride. Welcome to Indie Business Radio, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'm so excited to have you, and your book is wonderful, and what a treat to be able to monopolize an hour of your time on the day that it actually goes to publication and is available for people to purchase. What does that feel like, Pamela?
Well, it is completely exciting to us. We have waited for a couple of years anyway to get to this point. And now to know that someone can just go to Amazon.com and click right on it and make the order for it, we're just beside ourselves with excitement and sharing the good news with everyone.
I'm sure you are. Now, I want both of you to share a little bit with my listeners about how you got started with this book idea. Of course, I've heard it said that there's a book, at least one book in everyone, but actually getting into publication is totally different. Lorraine, share with us a little bit about your background and how you moved into the world of published author.
I've always been a writer since like fifth grade. I won an essay contest and it just got a letter from the lieutenant governor and it was just this huge thing. And when I look back on it now, I think, you know, what happened wasn't so huge, but it was the impact that it had on my life and that it really inspired me to make me want to be a writer. And I also had a teacher in fifth grade named Miss McCullum, and she had me and another young lady who's also in the book, Lisa Williams Holloway. She had us to write our own books. So I had never really been exposed to something like that, even though I've always been an avid reader since I could read. But that's how I went into writing, and I'm public relations and communications trained. That's the jobs that I've held, but I've always been a writer. So with the writing, for many publications, including Upscale Magazine, which is a national publication, a friend of mine knew that I wrote for Upscale, and she said, hey, I have another friend who writes for Upscale. And people that don't necessarily, I think she thought we may know each other, but in actuality, we were just two names on a masthead, you mm-hmm. know. So she introduced us, and this was not a face-to-face introduction. This was like email. She sent her my email, and that's how this was all born. That's how Pamela and I got together, and I have to say her name. Her name is Jonelle Mason, and I will forever be grateful to her for what she did, because if it wasn't for her, yeah, Pam may have had a book, I may have had a book, but this collaboration for Work It Girl would not have happened.
And Pam, tell me a little bit about how the concept for this particular book came about. What need in the market does this book fill that's not already filled?
Well, first of all, how it actually came about was really through the casual conversation that Lorraine and I had, just two authors or writers who are able to connect. And we started throwing around the things like, hey, we should write a book together. Yeah, well, I think we should. And, you know, what would we write on? And really just tossing around ideas. And the next thing you know, we had outlined all the chapters and summarized what they'd be about and really just kind of took off with it. Mm-hmm. And what we felt when that happened was, first of all, we know that a lot of women, including black women, make decisions about what they're going to do based on what other people think they should do or be. And what we really wanted to do was we wanted every black woman to know and believe that without any doubt she is the only person who can really determine her passion in life and that she can succeed on her own terms and not necessarily on anyone else's.
Mm-hmm.
the other thing we really wanted to do is to create a sister circle. As Black women, we tend to have sister circles, and they serve as important and special support systems in our lives, spiritually, professionally, and otherwise. We really love the fact that we've created a timeless book that has solid career advice that will also provide an extension of every reader's own sister circle in a way that really inspires them. But what really tops it off for us, I think, is that by including the different elements like our Work It Girl to-do list and action planner worksheets and style profile and things like that, we've provided tools that are going to help the readers act upon that inspiration and not just enjoy reading about it, but really to do something with it, and that something is working it.
And you guys have collected comments and input and feedback and stories from women who are working it all over the country.
Absolutely, and on all levels. We have people who are nationally known in the book, as well as people who are known maybe just in their communities, and all of them and their stories are equally inspiring.
Now, both of you have a lot of life experience to offer in terms of juggling what you're doing professionally with your families. Lorraine, tell me a little bit about how you managed to do that. I know you have a busy career, a traditional career with a lot of travel and other family obligations. What are they, and how do you manage to, I hate the word balance because I don't think there's any such thing, but I guess I could say, how do you successfully integrate all of that?
I think because I something that I always urge women to do, I do travel a bit because I do workshops and seminars around the country with various titles, effective communication skills in the workplace, all the way over to, your best life now, and, just different kinds of things, and they're empowering. But I also take on projects from other people in my little communications business. I take on projects from other people. I write scripts. Almost anything. I've written commercial copy, so all of it falls up under a communications umbrella. And how it works for me and how I make it work, because I have three children in my household and I have a husband, how I make it work for me is I just really know that this is what I want to do and I'm unwavering in it, but I know that I have to make sure that everything balances out for all of us. So sometimes that means I'm on the computer at 3 a.m., but it doesn't take away from me. When you're passionate about something, you make it work. And I think sometimes when people say they can't find time to do something or that, something's not working, it's probably not what they're supposed to be doing.
And how about you, Pamela? You're a mom as well.
I am a mom, and I do travel quite a bit with my job. In fact, I just got off an overnight flight today from Hawaii for work. But there's really four things for me that helps me keep it all together. And the first one is that I just pray, and pray some more. For what? The second thing, I really try to not get caught up in the superwoman syndrome, which we talk about in the book. And I try not to get caught up in it at work or at home. Somehow or another, we've all been conditioned to believe as Black women that the more we do, the more successful we'll be. Well, in Work It Girl, what we say is when the going gets tough, even Superwoman doesn't hesitate to call on the other super friends, and neither should you.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone needs a professional and personal support system.
Okay.
The last two things I do are just, I write down my priorities every single day, and I try to be very adamant about getting the big things done first so that everything else falls into place. And then I just make sure that on that list, it includes not just the business stuff, but time with my family and friends and fun and pampering and those kinds of things, because those are the things that really get us through all of it.
Now, Pamela, you just touched upon something that I have a follow-up question on this. You talked about super friends and getting help. Why do you think it is that so many women find that asking for help is a last resort? Well, let me ask it this way. First of all, do you observe that? And if so, why do you think that is?
I personally have a very difficult time asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that, and I work on that. I have found that if I have just a select few people that I feel really comfortable, that when I ask for help, I don't have to feel guilty,
mm-hmm.
Then that's what works for me.
But where does it come from? Where does the guilt come from? asking for help if there's, I'm just trying to probe, because I hear this so often, and I know that since you have managed to find ways to overcome this, I really want to pick your brain about that. Where does that guilt come from?
I think, again, that it comes from some conditioning that, you know, the more we do, the more successful we're going to be, and that if we're not holding it all together, then somehow or another we're not living up to all the things that we should be living up to.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if it's work or at home, but I think we set the standards for ourselves so high that sometimes we might even set them too high all at one time. And that just makes it much more difficult to get to. I think we have a hard time with doing one thing at a time and focusing on that one thing in that time without worrying about all the other things we have to get to. And that sometimes it's just we feel like it's easier to do it ourselves instead of delegating or asking for help.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes some sense. And congratulations to you for, you know, really putting it out there, because I think that that's something that so many people struggle with, women in particular, especially when you have a family and other obligations, feeling like you have to do it all yourself. So, Lorraine, what is working it? What does it mean to work it? And how do you know if you're working it right or not?
Well, we tell our readers, and we kind of live by this credo, it's using your talents, skills, and abilities to get what you want. It's utilizing what you have. You know, I think sometimes we always try to go outside of ourselves to expand ourselves, but I think true success and who we really are on the inside is what we have to pull from for any level of success in our lives. So working it is just really doing just that. It's working. I think that's the other thing that people have to, when they read this book, they'll see we don't talk about really passive ideas in this book. This book is very action-oriented. We have action planners, as Pam mentioned. You know, there's journaling, so you can kind of reach within yourself and pull yourself out from wherever you are to get into those action steps to get where you need to be. Working it is about working. You know, it's really about that. And I think sometimes people want to lay back and wait on something to come to them. We don't believe in that. We believe that you've got to make it happen. You know, you've really got to make it happen. So it's just looking within yourself, seeing what you have and how you can utilize it to get what you want, but at the same time being open to, hey, I may need, we talk about this in the book, I may need more training, I may need more education, I may need more tools. And to piggyback on what Pam said, you may need more people, you may need more help.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely want to address what she was saying. You know, I think for women, I think you want to grow up to be strong, and this strong thing is what ties a lot of people down, because we feel like if I've got to ask somebody to help me do something, it's seen as a weakness. And that's so not true. You know, I'm just so happy to be surrounded by such a great team, my best friend, my husband, my mother. But the inspiration, one of the greatest inspirations for me with this book is, and people will say, well, you know, specifically targeted towards African-American women, is because that has been my support. This book is great. It's great for an Asian woman. It's great for a white woman. It's great for a black man. It's great for any demographic. But it's anchored by profiles of African-American women that are working it, because that's, for me, who I've been inspired by my whole life. Those have been my examples. Those have been the people that I have watched. But it's definitely inclusive and for everyone. And so many of us have teams that are not gender-specific. You know, there's just, you have to identify who your team is and make sure that you're utilizing them.
And I absolutely love what you said. This boils your whole book and even both of your lifestyles down to a short sentence. Using your talents, skills, and abilities to get what you want. That should be like, we should all write that on the walls in every room now.
Exactly. Exactly. Most definitely.
I love that. That is worth, in, you know, getting one of those little plastic bracelets and having it all printed up on there.
Mm-hmm.
Just to remind yourself, because we need those reminders. Now, in your book, you have a chapter on turning your hobby into a career. So I want to turn our attention to that, because so many of the Indie Business Radio listeners are either in the process of doing that or they are doing that. And you interviewed some women who have done that. Tell me, Pamela, what are some of the tips and things that they did that really stood out to you in your research about these women? What stood out in terms of what made them successful versus people who try the same thing and have the same intentions but just never seem to be able to make it click?
Well, I have a couple examples of that, and one of them is a self-employed publicist and event planner named Melissa Washington Harris. She takes on projects that fit her work style and her preferences, and she concentrates very much on doing that. She also sets definite boundaries for herself, her family, and her friends, as well as her clients, just to make sure that she can effectively do her work from home and not get trapped in some of those working from home things that other people may think you're available to do things that really you're not, because you are working even though you're home. Another one is Pamela Thomas Scott. She tells us about the fact that she does at least one thing every single day in each of her three businesses to advance them. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that is quite an undertaking if you have three separate types of businesses and you really have focused on being able to do something to advance each one of them every day. I mean, that I think is really awesome. We also talked with Kimberly Lawson-Roby, best-selling author, and she shares advice about networking with other people in your line of work, reading and learning as much as you can about your work, being professional, and treating others the way you'd like to be treated. I mean, she almost goes back to our basic rules of life, of treating other people the way you want to be treating and doing things the way they ought to be done. And then, of course, we shared your advice with our readers, which is if you really want to achieve a particular goal, then get out of your own way.
Oh, that's right. We did put a little bit, you did put a little bit about me in there, and I certainly appreciate that. You know, one of the things you touched upon a second ago was doing three things that further your business every day. And Lorraine, how do you do that? I mean, you've got three children, you've got a spouse, you've got a full-time job. Maybe that's one of the things that you're working toward, but certainly, my guess is you probably are doing at least three things for your business every day. Does it really boil down, Lorraine, to being up at 3 o'clock in the morning? In other words, does it really boil down to just biting the bullet, making the time, and sacrificing something that you would otherwise be doing if you didn't have to, you know, move forward towards some goal?
I have to tell you that, you know, not always. The 3 o'clock mornings are rare, but to be honest with you, sometimes that's when I'm ready. So it's never that my workload dictates the 3 a.m. Typically it's not that it does, but it's when I'm ready. You know, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night with an idea, mm-hmm. and I am just that focused on doing the things that I want to do that I'm not going to even take the risk of it not still being on my mind when I wake up in the morning. So it's just this thing of, you know, like if you're doing the three things, and I really do that, and luckily the different things I do, they can kind of come in together. So sometimes when I'm doing something, you know, it helps with my other projects too. It's all because my business is a communications business. So sometimes if I even commit, you know, to making a connection. You know, I commit to some days just doing research. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I'm trying to figure out how I can further my business. There's always things you can find out and say, okay, they're doing something similar to what I'm doing. Maybe we can partner up. Maybe I have something that they want to utilize. So it's just this thing of, for me, it always just comes from within, how I'm able to do these types of things. It's the motivation. It's the passion. And I always tell people that if you're not feeling that, it is hard to get up at 3. I have a friend, and actually she's an author also, and she would tell me, she's like, there's no other way I can do this. She's a teacher also, so she would get up every morning at 4 a.m., and she'd write for 2 hours before getting her family together and getting them off to school. I know a lot of very passionate women, and I think people just do whatever they have to do to make it work, and we believe that that's what you do because, you know, your end result is what's really going to make you happy, that accomplishment of, and it can be something small. And I constantly talk about this with women and with workshops and everything. It doesn't have to be huge stuff. Your goal could be to somebody else seem like nothing, you know, but whatever it is inside you, whatever fuels you, your passion about it, it's really going to determine how far you can go with it.
And so often, Lorraine, it seems like people have a struggle making the connection between those three things that they do and how it benefits their business because the results are not immediate. Have you noticed that as well?
I always notice it. I think because some people, you know, can't really always grasp the big picture, and I think that's something that a lot of us need to work on. Because I was in the hair salon, and you know, this lady was reading a book, so I had a postcard for the book, and I gave it to her, and you know, we just started talking, and I was telling her about some other things. Now, do I think that she went right home and ordered the book off Amazon? You know, I'm really not sure. She seemed very interested, but the bottom line is I liked her. We created a relationship. I have her information. She has mine. I definitely think that she is going to purchase the book, but there's no immediate result in most things, especially networking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's not always an immediate result in that when you get amongst people, but the relationships that you build, somebody can be flipping through their Rolodex or their electronic files, whatever, and see your information months later down the line. And I've had that kind of thing happen to me all the time, so I'm a living witness to that really being something that happens to people. People have called me out of the blue. Remember you spoke at this conference? You know, well, we're doing something at our church, or we're doing something at our school, or, you know, I'm a mocha mom. And one of the moms in the group, she contacted me because she has a marketing business. I do a lot of projects with her. I edit materials for her. But it's based on relationships, and it's just based on, you don't always go after things. I didn't have any intention of doing any business with her. You know, we just met and we clicked and, you know, became friends. But to actually do business with her is something that's more of a big picture thing that just happened. But I just think if you can just kind of start, I think like Pamela was saying, when the advice that is given in the book about just the core things that you should be doing anyway, treat everybody right.
Mm-hmm.
That's when things kind of start coming together for you. When you're doing the right things, things will come together for you. It doesn't always have to be this rigid plan of attack. It's just when you're doing good things and you're putting yourself out there, things come back to you.
Well, and speaking of rigid planning, that's kind of the traditional way to plan a business. But for women and for people who are working from a passion, it hardly ever works that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's point out, too, for our listeners that we first made contact about this book about 14 months ago.
Yes.
And
yes.
I love, you know, we have just managed to remain in touch as busy as we've been. We've touched base 3 or 4 times over the last 14 months, and part of that networking, part of that sticking to it, part of that, you know, allowing 14 months to go by before the show can finally come on, the book can finally come out, it's just a part of the process, is that immediate gratification. You kind of have to let go of it if you want to be successful in your own business. Pamela, what do you think about that?
I do agree, and on a couple of different things that you were talking about. The one thing is, we have to also learn how not to be so hard on ourselves, because, again, the whole superwoman thing. We've said to ourselves, okay, we're going to do 3 things every single day. Well, there are going to be some days that you're only going to be able to get to 1. And that's okay. You don't have to make up for it. You can just do 1 if that's what you can do in that day, and you should really enjoy the accomplishment in getting that one thing done.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, my work schedule and travel schedule and children's schedule, that does dictate when I can actually get down to something. But I've always got a notebook on me because, like Lorraine said, when the idea comes, it just comes. And you don't want to lose whatever that energy or idea is. And so for me, I have to kind of jot it all down in the notebook. And then really I am working at 11 or 12 or 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
The very interesting thing about that to me is the fact that with the schedule that I have now, and I always feel so tired, and even if I write and get only a few hours of sleep at night, because of the fact that writing is such a passion for me, I actually feel energized.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I didn't get a whole lot of sleep, because I was doing something I really love, I have a very limited amount of time to do it, so I cherish and value, you know, every time I'm able to sit down and actually write and put something together or finish an article or get an interview done or whatever it is. And I've always got this list of things that I can do, so when I have 15 minutes of time that I can get to something, I don't have to figure out, you know, spend 10 of those minutes figuring out what I'm going to do. I've got this list of things I know I've got to do,
so I can just jump to it with whatever time I have.
Mm-hmm. And Lorraine, you know, earlier we were talking about using your talents, skills, and abilities to get what you want, because I just like saying that. Talent, skills, and abilities to get what you want.
That's right.
You know, let's talk for a second about a fourth thing that your book shows can be added to that, and that is your life experiences. Because there's a story in your book or some feedback in your book from a woman who used to be married to a basketball player. And she took some of the experiences that she had from that time in her life, she's not married to him anymore, from that time in her life, and turned it into an income stream. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. Tell me that story.
Pam, you want to tell that story?
Sure. This particular woman was interested in various ideas of things that she could do. And
so often where it all starts for us, right? Sometimes the problem we have is we have so many ideas.
Right. We have so many ideas that we just can't seem to get to them all. But what typically happens is that it doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really resist that urge to want to do whatever that passion is and to just get down to doing it. And so at some point, when you realize, hey, there's really something more to this, there's got to be some action. And that's, you know, a lot of what we're talking about in the book is that action.
Mm-hmm.
And she took that action. And regardless of what career you're in now or what career you're not in, as Lorraine talked about a little bit earlier, if you don't have the skills, get them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way you can work it. You've got to take some sort of action in moving toward that goal. And
mm-hmm.
putting it down on paper and feeling as though this is going to come to something, if you just work at it a little bit at a time, it really can evolve into something solid and a solid income stream.
Right, right. And the person I'm thinking about, I think her name was, I can't remember, and I'm quickly running through the book to find it, but I think she wrote Gotham Diaries.
Oh, yeah. Chris McCrae Anthony.
Right. Yes, that's who I'm thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Who, you know, took her experience in a situation that most of us, you know, will never be in, and made a whole movie and a book out of it.
Right, right.
Well, her story is really unique in that she was an attorney,
mm-hmm.
and her work was, I guess, more clinical, and she was more entertainment-minded. She was more creative-minded.
Mm-hmm.
So she stopped practicing law, and that's when all these creative things just started flowing. And I think the reason why her story is so inspiring is because when you are an attorney at a top firm and you leave, people are like, oh, my God, what are you doing? Why would you do that? And because people like security, people like stability, and sometimes to achieve the real dream that's inside of you, you have to step out of your comfort zone. And to me, her story is more of a perfect example of that, because she read a book, and it inspired her. It had something to do with tapping the artist within and the creativity that you have within, and from there, all these things were born for her. She is a host on DTJ. Her movie is Dirty Laundry. She is the co-author of Gotham Diaries. She's also the co-author of Home Court Advantage, which she did co-author with another NBA wife, which was Rita Ewing, Patrick Ewing's ex-wife. So it's just, we love to find these women, and we love to find these stories. The women in the book are great. We couldn't have gotten better women. And
well,
I've been... Yeah, including you.
Well, that's not where I was going, but I wanted to say, I mean, it is fascinating to see all the women that you profiled, and Ms. McCrary Anderson being one of them, but all the other women have so many unique experiences to offer, but it seems like the theme that runs through everything that all of us can take away, you, me, the listeners, everyone can take away from this is that when you combine all these different aspects of your personality and your skills and your talents and your experiences, good and bad, when you combine those things, you can come out on the other end with a way to have a business. At least one way.
Right. Exactly. And that particular chapter that you're talking about, That one is titled Jill of All Trades, Mistress of Her Destiny. Mm-hmm. And we feel like that particular title just completely embodies that whole idea.
Well, you know, and when I was at a law firm, you know, practicing and having all the perks and stuff that go with a law firm, when I gave my notice, people did think I was nuts. And there are people all over the country in all kinds of different disciplines in jobs where they really feel like they want to be able to do something different. They sometimes they hate their jobs. Sometimes, you know, the job's okay, but, you know, it's just really not thrilling me. So, Pamela, what kind of advice can you offer for people who find themselves in that position? I saw a statistic, I think it was USA Today, and I can't remember the date that I saw this, but they had a USA Today reader poll that had some fantastic percentage of people, 80-some-odd percent of people, just do not like their jobs. And if they didn't need the insurance, they would be doing something else. So what are some tips that you can offer from the stories that you tell in your book, Pamela, to help people kind of, as you just put it, step out of their comfort zone and take that chance and let people ridicule them and think they have lost their minds in order to pursue something that they feel is important in their lives?
Well, I think the bottom line to all this is really looking within and trying to figure out, if I did stay at this job, what would make this job better? Because sometimes that will be some sort of indicator that there is a passion that you should pursue, and trying to figure out how to incorporate that passion into whatever it is you're doing. Now, for some people, that might mean staying with the same company, but maybe taking a different job, and there's nothing wrong with that. And hopefully, if they're changing jobs into something they're a little bit more passionate about, then that might fuel that enthusiasm and that confidence that they could step outside of that job and into their own business, because now they've had a chance to actually earn money doing what they really love. Mm-hmm. So I think that no matter which way you look at it, that passion has really got to be a part of it, and that openness to look deep, deep within to see what is it. Unlike Lorraine, I didn't really consider myself as a writer at a really young age. I was an avid reader. I mean, I can remember all the way back to second grade winning a T-shirt that said bookworm on it because I'd read more books than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the love for words and how they were put together and those kinds of things. And I kind of thought I could be a writer one day, but I never really pursued it because I didn't think I was creative enough to do it well. Well, much later on in life, when I found something I was passionate about, which was that career management, that is what enabled me to move into the creativity of writing. So I didn't write novels, but I could take my area of expertise. And because I was so passionate about managing your career and determining success on your own terms and getting whatever skills you need and all those kinds of things, when I did my workshops, I would get really excited about it, and people would say, you know, you should write about it, you should write about it. And when I did, it just took off.
Mm-hmm.
So again, just kind of being open enough to know, even if what I'm doing right now is not exactly, if I can figure out what that passion is, that is going to fuel the fire, and it will propel you toward whatever it is you want to do. But you've got to find the passion, and then you've got to work it. Mm-hmm. So you've got to act on it.
Yeah, because knowledge really isn't power unless you do anything with it.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So what do you guys think about this writing career thing? Are you going to be able to read more books from you guys, either together or separately? What was this experience like, and would you do it again?
Well, I'll step in. This is Pamela. I think we absolutely have touched on something that we just want to grow into whatever it can. And we are completely open to working together and doing more projects and things. But I think it's worth it to note that even when we went into this project not knowing where it would go, we've always talked about really making it more about a lifestyle, not a book that someone will purchase, read it from cover to cover, put it on the shelf, and that be the end of it. That work it, girl, we needed to make that a mantra among women, all women, that we needed to get out and do workshops and seminars and motivational speaking and really just develop it more into a lifestyle rather than a book. Things that, for as far as we're concerned, can highlight all of these other women and really catch on and create somewhat of a legacy and be inspirational and empowering to other women as women have been to us. So we really want to pass this on and not just be a start and an end to it.
And what do you think, Pamela? I mean, Lorraine?
Oh, Pam just stated everything so great, and I'll just add that, you know, not once from the time we started with the idea have we ever wavered from. We hadn't had a lot of changes. It's just something that came together so well as far as the ideas and what we wanted to do that we just knew it was meant to be. You know, once we got a title, that was it. It never changed. You know, once we got foundation for chapters, that was it. It never changed. It was like it was just something, again, that was meant to be. So we're definitely wanting to get, well, we will be out there. We'll be at colleges. We'll be at conferences. And I think when you come from a place in yourself where it's about more than the book, when it's about, like Pam said, the lifestyle, the concept, for us, we always tell people we wanted the book to be entertaining and enlightening and empowering. So this is, it's like what we want to do beyond being authors. It's just really something that has been great, and we just really think that it's going to be great for every person who reads it.
Well, I certainly echo that. Definitely having spent several hours reviewing some of these stories and being inspired myself. Now, Pamela, what tips can you offer for some of our listeners out there who are going, you know, I have a book in me. I have a chapter written down. I've got my outline. Well, I sound just like they did a year or so ago. What do I do next?
Well, I would say that probably the thing that helped us most is research.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to be excited about something if you don't know where to go with it. If you're not sure what it is they want out there, what readers want, what publishers and agents want, if you're not really sure what it is people want, then it's going to be hard to give it to them. If you're not sure what it is you have to offer, you're not going to be able to give it to them. So for us, researching and trying to find out what they want and incorporating that with all of the excitement and knowledge that we have, because even though we are experts in our field, that didn't mean that we didn't research. We still needed to research to acquire as much knowledge as possible and to bring it all together as much as possible and not just offer only our, you know, views as what they would be, but to bring in as many people as possible. And so coming from the experiences that we've had, as far as work, as far as personal, as far as social, and then pulling all those others in from other people. And that means the hardcore technical type of research and surveys and polls. And it also means interviewing other experts. And it also means just talking to people about, hey, what do you think about this?
Mm-hmm.
Down to the whole publication process, knowing and understand what's supposed to happen and in what time frame, and how do you submit this information to the people, and do you just send out all this mass stuff, or what do you have to narrow it down to in terms of publishing houses, and really just getting comfortable with all that so that when you get down to business, you've really got a base of information to work from.
It sounds like it's a lot to wrap your hands around, but you guys are such a good example of sort of making that decision and then putting into action what needs to be done in order to implement it.
Yes, and let me also say that I think that one of the things that made this such a wonderful project is the partnership. Lorraine and I have some very similar skills, but then I have others that might be stronger than hers in some areas, and she has some that are stronger than mine in other areas. And the wonderful thing about that is we are able to balance it without even having to do this. You do this, I do that. You do this, I do that. We just know where each other's strong points are, and we just do it. And how that could possibly come together when we didn't even know each other before is really amazing to us. But we really do make a team where all of the ingredients, so they say, that's needed for publication success, if we come together,
we have that together. And that for us has been wonderful because we are able to, you know, step back when we're not as strong in one thing because we know the other one's got it. Mm-hmm. And not have to worry about it. It's just not going to happen that way.
And how many months?
Totally.
How many months, Lorraine, from start to finish, from concept to holding it in our hands today, how many months did it take?
Let's say years.
Right?
Yeah, it's years. And I have to get the backstory on that. I was living in Leavenworth, Kansas when I was connected with Pamela. My husband was stayed there in school, and Pamela was in Hawaii. And so, you know, we got everything together, and like with this is something very important for listeners who are interested in nonfiction. You do three chapters, but you can't finish a nonfiction book until you have a contract because nonfiction really has to be timely.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a challenge in and of itself because with fiction, you know, they may have to go back in and tweak some things, but nonfiction is a whole different animal, and I think it's a great thing. But you know, we took breaks. Pamela relocated. I relocated. Let's just let this be something that's kind of a measuring tool for how this happened. I have lived in Leavenworth, Kansas, Fayetteville, North Carolina, Augusta, Georgia, and now I am in Northern Virginia. So that's how you can see how this has been a journey for us. And it's been a beautiful journey. It's been a wonderful journey. We've taken breaks. We've readjusted. We've done everything. And it just has been meant to be. And our passion has kept us in the game. Our passion.
You have lived in four states between the time this book was basically
an idea.
And, okay. All right. Well, then I think that brings us almost full circle.
And that's interesting because when, like she said, I was in Hawaii, and I left Hawaii and came to Atlanta. So I had two moves in between that as well. So between the two of us, you know, and Lorraine had a child. So I mean, we've had right, actually. So our lives have so changed, and for everything in our lives to change so much like that, and in such a small period of time, what we're talking about over 5 years,
mm-hmm.
but our passion, like she said, it remained unwavered, and what we set out to do did not change, mm-hmm. and that offered some sort of, I think, stability to us. To have that one thing that we were keeping on and keeping on and just really working it for that period of time. And having somebody else there who we knew, no matter what was going on, the other one had our back. That the project wasn't going to have to necessarily go undone because of all the things that we were doing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I just commend you and congratulations on the publication of your book, Work It Girl, The Black Woman's Guide to Professional Success. Lorraine Morris Cole and Pamela M. McBride, tell me where on the internet, I know we can go to Amazon to buy the book, tell me where on the internet we can go to find out more about you and where you'll be speaking. Pamela?
Our website is www.workitgirlweb.com.
Okay, and so we can go there, we can get all the information we need to come and meet up with you.
You sure can. Information about the book, information about us, and contacts and appearances and all kinds of great things. And it's building up every day. So that's the fun thing about it is that you can come back and see what else is going on. You can join our mailing list because we intend to be doing some mailings here shortly and things like that. So we would invite anyone who visits the site to go ahead and join that mailing list for announcements and such.
Well, good. We definitely need to have that up there so you can stay in touch with us and we can stay in touch with you. Lorraine Morris Cole and Pamela McBride, thank you so much for joining me today. Very exciting show, inspiring and encouraging to all of us. I want you guys out there to know that I will be back here on Indie Business Radio on September 24th, next Monday, with Indie Beauty Network's own Dawn Fitch of Puka Pure and Simple. You all may remember that she was on the Today Show earlier this year. She was also featured on the Michael Basden Show, which is a syndicated nationwide radio talk show. And she has also just published her own book, Moving Through Open Doors, Business and Life Lessons Taught by Abundant Blessings. Don Fitch, president of Pooka Pure and Simple, will be here with us next week to tell us how she works it, and we'll get some inspiration from her and also find out how she started her business. Indie Business Radio is a production of Indie Business Media, LLC. Join the conversation at indiebusinessblog.com. Download podcasts and enjoy streaming audio of all of my radio shows at indiebusinessradio.com. Send your questions and suggestions for show topics to info@indiebusinessradio.com. I look forward to seeing you guys next week with Don Fitch of Pooka Pure and Simple. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.